Saga Egmont presents Cult by Stefan Malmström, read by Luke R. Francis.
Night on our earth now has fallen, shimmering starlit sheen. Our small worlds wander so distant, darkness so endless seems. Darkness and depth in the dusk hour, why do I love them? Though the stars wander so distant, earth is still our human home. Eric Blomberg, translated by Linda Schenk. 1. Luke's hand shook as he tried to put the key in the lock. Something was wrong. So wrong.
"Just open the door!"
screamed Therese, Victor's ex-wife, standing behind Luke and on the verge of hysteria. It was 8:30 on Monday evening and they were outside the door of Victor's apartment, on the third floor of Alamedan 30 in downtown Karlskrona. Luke swore to himself. The key wouldn't go in.
"You must have given me the wrong key," Luke said. "It doesn't fit."
Therese grabbed his arm and tried to take it from him.
"Give it to me. I'll take care of it."
Luke jerked his arm away. "No, I'll do it," he snapped, feeling instantly guilty for the sharpness of his tone. It wasn't fair to speak to Therese like that. She had every right to be beside herself with worry. Victor should have arrived with his and Therese's 4-year-old daughter Agnes at Luke's for dinner 2.5 hours ago at 6 o'clock. Luke started trying to call Victor on his cell phone when he was an hour late, but he didn't answer. An hour later, Luke was worried and he decided to leave his cabin on Bjorkholmen and head to Victor's apartment, a 5-bedroom, 3,000-square-foot place in a spectacular brick and granite building. Victor, Luke's best friend, had lived there since he divorced Therese 3 years earlier. When Luke came up to the third floor, he heard music playing in Victor's apartment and assumed he was in there with Agnes. But the door was locked, and when Luke rang the bell, no one opened it. After 10 minutes of ringing and pounding, Luke realised he was going to have to call Therese as she had a spare key. Therese answered after 4 rings, and there was a lot of noise and talking in the background. She was at a work party and grew both irritated and nervous when Luke asked if she could come with her spare key. She had left Agnes with Victor around 5 o'clock, at which point everything seemed normal. She promised Luke she would come with the key as soon as she could. As soon as the call ended, Luke pushed the elevator button to send it down so Therese wouldn't have to take the stairs. 10 minutes passed before he heard the elevator running. It stopped at the right floor and Therese stepped out, wearing full makeup and party clothes.
"I should never have agreed to shared custody," were the first words out of her mouth. "He can hardly take care of himself. How in the hell could he take care of a child too? Now he's ruined the entire evening for me," she continued, while giving Luke the key. "We're celebrating the biggest order in the history of the company and we're just about to sit down to eat. A 3-course meal. He's definitely going to have to pay me back for this."
Now it was a few minutes later, and that calm anger happened had been replaced by pure primal panic. Luke had never seen a mother terrified for the safety of her child before, and it was as powerful as any emotion he had ever witnessed. It made him even more desperate to get into the flat quickly. Luke examined the key. At first, he thought it was one of those keys which worked whichever way you held it, but now he realised he might be holding it upside down. He turned it quickly and it slid in all the way. He twisted it and heard the latch click open. Luke shoved open the heavy door and the sound of the music hammered against his eardrums. It was jazz. Strange, he thought. Victor doesn't like jazz. He turned on the light in the hallway and entered the stylishly minimalist apartment. Victor hadn't spared a dime when he divorced Therese and bought the place. He tore out nearly everything. New kitchen, new bathrooms, refinished floors, fresh paint, everywhere, a complete renovation. He hired a local interior decorating company and gave them free license. It cost a fortune, but if anyone could afford it, Victor could. The floor in the foyer was composed of black and white marble squares in a checkerboard pattern. White walls, a narrow black bureau under a painting by Blekinier artist Shel Hobia of a large red fish, covering almost the entire picture, set against a bright blue background. Luke's thoughts were racing with questions, but no answer.